Today is found in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. We left off speaking to you last week where Christ was teaching and instructing the woman of Samaria in what manner he and his Father was to be worshipped, and that God was a spirit and those that worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. I spoke to you about that there are many people that are not true worshipers of God. The only true worshipers are those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Should we not examine ourselves whether we are a true worshiper of him? Oh, how is he mocked by many of those that we call free will worshipers? They can worship him whenever they want to. They have it on the end of their lips. They have it in their minds. But they never worshiped him with their hearts. How many worship him whom they do not know? As he himself says, ye worship whom ye do not know. How many mock the Lord in their worship? Especially he is mocked by a carnal priesthood who go through all the forms and rituals of a service, meaning that they are worshiping God, and they are not. And my hearers, let me come a little closer. How often do you and I worship him? Have you ever worshiped him? That I mean in truth and in spirit. If ever God has given you to do this, you will know it, believe me. When his spirit occupies your mind and occupies your soul, and you don't have to do anything but just speak out what he gives in, oh, what a blessed occupation this is, my hearers, to worship God in this way. I'm afraid that if we were to search and examine ourselves, that there are very few true worshipers of God. And this teaches us likewise that God has an elect people, a chosen people, and they are the only ones that are given to worship him. Have you ever done so? Even if it were for a moment, honestly, believe me, you may have worshipped him and you can't believe that you did. You may have cried out with a broken heart, oh God, be merciful to me. You couldn't say anything else. But you felt that you did this in truth and in uprightness, that it came from the bottom of your soul. That's worship. We don't need many words, my hearers. We don't need many expressions. If only it's true and it comes from the bottom of your soul, it ascends up to heaven above. And there's an ear that's open to hear that. And there's a heart that is ready to give what you have been asking. But this woman was instructed, for she questioned him which was the right place to worship, whether it was upon Mount Gerizim or whether it was in Jerusalem. And he told her the hour was coming and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then she said unto him, when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. This here woman, she had a knowledge that the Messiah was to come. Very odd. She was not a Jew, she was a Samaritan. But it seemed that even the Gentiles round about the Jewish nation, they had that feeling and that belief that there was a mighty prince that was going to come someday. He had been promised unto the Jewish nation. And this woman sincerely believed too that when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. And he will tell us all things. Do you think this woman had it in her mind, had it in her heart, and thought, possibly this is the Messiah who I'm talking to? Could have been. Why did she say this? What made her express herself in this way when the Messiah comes? Had she any inkling that that person was before her was it? We see in this how that the Lord led this woman. Gradually, he led this woman to that position where she was subject to a revelation of himself to her. For he spake unto her and said, I am he that speaketh unto thee. Oh, what wonderful words that the Lord Jesus spake unto this woman. He then made known unto her that the Messiah, who she was speaking about, was standing right in the front of her. And that he was it. Oh, I can picture this woman in my mind. Oh, how surprised and how amazed and how filled with wonder this woman was. Why, this Jew, this stranger, this person that's been speaking to me and instructing me in the matters of religion, he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. I think, had it not been just at that time that the disciples came, she would have fell down at his feet and worshipped him. She was so filled with faith to believe that this was he, because she had it out of his own mouth. He had said it unto her. Oh, what a wonderful meeting this was with this woman, my hearers. If I could read some of the souls that are listening to me, and some of the thoughts that are going through their minds, and which go through mine too, I sincerely believe there are some that are saying, oh, I wish that he would say that to me. I wish he would make himself known unto me and say unto me, it is I that speaketh unto thee. How many amongst my hearers have heard this voice speaking inwardly? Do you think it's the voice of God? But is it the voice of Christ? Can I believe that it's Jesus that's speaking to me? I have to do with God, and it seems God's speaking to me. I miss Jesus. I know him not personally from my own soul. He's such a hidden person for me. What is this voice that I hear speaking to me? Whenever I'm in trouble and I can't go any further, I don't know what to do with myself, then words come. Where do they come from? Who speaks them? Wouldn't you want him to say, it is I that speaketh unto thee? That you would know that this glorious person is working in your heart by his Spirit, that you would have a confirmation from his own lips that it was he. Oh, I think there are some amongst my hearers that are like this blind man. You know the story of the blind man who was born blind. This man, he had a miracle performed on him. The Lord Jesus told him to go to wash in the pool Siloam after he had put mud on his eyes. And he went and he washed and he came seeing. And he couldn't do anything else but speak good of him who had given him this blessing of sight. And these Jews, they questioned him and brought him into the temple. And when he began to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was a prophet, and that it never was heard in the world that anybody that was born blind had received their sight, they threw him out. That's what he got for testifying for Jesus. And after they had thrown him out, we find that Jesus came to him and found him. And Jesus said unto him, believest thou in the Son of God? What did he say? Do I hear you say, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Is that what you say? Is that what rises up in your heart? Who is he? Who is he that I may believe in him? I think there are some amongst my hearers that are in this position. How long have you been in that position? Quite a long time, maybe. Waiting for what? waiting that he would say unto you like he did unto the blind man, it is he that speaketh unto thee. These were the words that he spake to the blind man likewise. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that speaketh unto thee. And all this blind man, he immediately said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and worshiped him. Wouldn't you want to have that experience, Saul, listening to me? All who's anxious to find Jesus. All who thinks if I don't find him, it's lost, forever lost with my soul. Oh, I would encourage you, Saul. Wait upon him, for none shall ever be made ashamed that wait for him. But there's a day coming when such waiting souls will experience what we read in the prophetical book of Isaiah. And that day comes when he makes himself known unto you, then you will say, this is the Lord, we have waited for him. This is the Lord. And he has become our salvation. Ah, blessed are all they that wait for him. Hang on, Saul, lay at his feet. The day will come when he will make himself known and say, it is I that speaketh unto thee. And this woman was so filled with Christ, so filled with the wonder and amazement of the revelation that she had, that she ran away from the place. She forgot her water pot and everything, and she ran into the city. And when she came into the city, the first person that she met, she had to tell. Oh, she says to this person, come, see a man that has told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, she wanted everybody to know that Jesus, the precious Messiah, the anointed one, was down there at the well. Oh, she says, that was where I met with him. That was where he told me everything that ever I did. Isn't that this the Christ? I can see her going through the streets. What a stir she must have made. What a female preacher she became. Oh, she wanted everybody to go to Jesus, to see him, to believe in him just like she did. That's true, souls. Oh, if ever God strikes a chord of love in your heart to Jesus, and if ever he makes himself known unto you, why, you want to take your whole family, you want to take everybody that you know to him. Oh, you would want that everybody would believe in him. And that's what I'm standing here for, my hearers. I wish that every one of you were given to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe me, I can't make you believe in him. But I do in my feeble way. Just as this woman, she was a female preacher, and she wanted everyone to go down to see Jesus. And all we find are that many of the men in Samaria, that they went down to the well. And they believed what this woman spake about, because she began to tell them what a woman she had been. And oh, what a sinner she had been. And this stranger, this Jew, he had told her everything that she had done. Why, she was so convinced that he was the Messiah, nobody could change her and chase it out of her heart. Oh, no unbelief rested there, my hearers. She believed it sincerely. Now let me ask you a question. Has that ever happened to you under the teaching of the Word, that your past life has been exposed unto you? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Has it ever been given to you to see? Oh, I'm afraid there are so few to whom God has come with his law and with his gospel and has begun to discover unto you what your life was in the past. My ear, if that has taken place, I know what you have done. You went away from everybody. You were so ashamed of yourself, so ashamed before God because of your sins, you had to go and hide yourself somewhere, in the bedroom, in the closet, maybe down in the cellar you went. Oh, there wasn't a place lonely enough for you. You had to get away from all creatures, and you had to begin to tell God just what you had done. because he was revealing unto you what you had done. Oh, when God brings home our past life, my hearers, and then we become truth, then we become upright, and then we become a worshiper of God. We do not hide anything then, and we would tell him every sin that we have committed against him. Oh, we come so clean then. We come so as a little child. Oh, we come so honest. Do you like to come that way? You ever come that way, any of my hearers? God ever make you honest before him? Ever been humbled in the dust? Ever been the least? Ever been the greatest of sinners? You know, I wish I could come every day like that. In fact, every time I'm given to pray, I wish I could come that way. It isn't every day that we have that, my hearers. But if you have ever had it once, you'll want it again and again. And that's the place for you and I to be the least, to be nothing. And then God is everything. And now this woman, she caused such a stir in the city. And many of the men, they went down to the well. When they came down there, they seen Jesus. He was still there. His disciples, when they came back from the city with something to eat, they seen him talking to this woman. And nobody said to him, "What are you talking to her for?" Nobody asked him any questions. But when they offered him something to eat, he didn't eat. They said to him, "Master, eat." "Oh," he says, "I have a meat," he says, "which you know nothing of." Oh, where was his mind? Why, it was back in Samaria, in that city back there. What was going on there? Why, that woman was stirring up all the people to come to him. Now, this was the will of his heavenly Father, that all men should come unto him. And this was being performed by this woman, spreading his name and his fame abroad. And this was his meat, this was his drink. This was the will of his heavenly Father. From the beginning of his life to the end thereof, he was performing the will of his Father. And now all these men came down to Jesus, and they likewise heard him speak. I believe there were many that came there that didn't hear him speak in the way some did. You know, you've all come to the house of God. You've all heard the word. It's the word of God. You wouldn't deny that. But there are some, at some times, that hear it by faith. That hear it as it is the true word of God. And that's a vast difference, my hearers. That's the way it went with these Samaritans. Some of them, they heard him speak as if he was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sent one. But others, they only heard him speak as you're hearing me speak. It made no effect upon them. It made no impression upon them. And many of them did believe. But I believe many didn't believe too, in that manner that it was to the saving of their souls. And many believed likewise what this woman spake, for she spread his name and his fame abroad too. And it says that many believed because of what the woman had said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." We see in this, my hearers, that God uses instruments. And that sometimes to bring others to Christ. How many of you is listening to me? Have ever heard sometimes someone begin to tell you how that God began a good work of grace in their hearts? How they were led from step to step. And as you were listening, you were so convinced, you were so impressed that this was the work of God because the honor and the glory of God shined out in it. And when you were listening, you became jealous. Or you began to say inside, "Oh, I wish that that would take place with me. Oh, I wish that those things that this man or this woman experienced would also happen in me. And what did that do to you? Why, it began to lead you to read the Bible as you never did before. You came up more often to the house of God, where before you were lax in doing that. But now, you came up every time there was service and there was worship. You found yourself going alone, bringing before God those things that you had heard from that particular person's lips. And you began to pray that he would manifest himself in the same way unto your soul. Am I touching your heart? Am I striking a chord in your soul? That's what took place amongst these Samaritans. She began to relate what had taken place in her. And then people, they heard her and they believed her, and they began to be jealous too of what had taken place, and they began to do just what I'm explaining to you. Have you been doing that? Keep on, soul. Keep on. For there's a God that will in due time reveal unto you his love, his mercy, and his favor. He has never said to anyone, seek ye me in vain. All seek while the day is yet here, because there's a night coming of death when ye can seek no more. We see then that there was a great blessing upon the preaching of this woman, that many were brought to Christ. It was by the instrumentality of the word that was spoken. May I entreat every one of you, come up to the house of God. Every time there's worship, my hearers, do not stay home. Do not be indifferent. You never know when Jesus might present himself in our midst with his spirit. And oh, if he does, it may be just the time for your soul. And oh, what a happy day that will be if he should meet with you and he should confess unto you as he did to this woman, it is I that speaketh unto thee. Then I am sure that what took place with this woman will take place with you. And we find that many of the Samaritans begged him and entreated him that he would remain with them. And he tarried there 2 days. And we find that many of these Samaritans said unto the woman, we do not believe because of your word, but we ourselves have heard him, and therefore we believe. That's essential. That's very necessary, my hearers. Not because I believe or some other people that you know believe, and because they have spoken to you, but we ourselves have heard him. Oh, have you ever heard him? Do you know his voice? Has it ever come home with power to your heart? Oh, then I am sure. You need not anyone else to say unto you to believe, but you have been given by his precious spirit to believe. Oh, what a blessing it is if we are given to know the voice of Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful voice. I wish I heard it more often. There has to be a place made for that voice. Christ just don't speak just like you and I do. Oh no, when he speaks, it's with power. There's a necessity for that voice, and it meets your case. It lifts you up out of whatever despondency and darkness and unbelief you may be in, and whatever troubles you're in, providentially and spiritually. That voice meets the case. He knows how to speak a word in due time to any person that may be in trouble. And if ever you have heard that voice, you'll look for that voice again. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. You may say, oh, I don't know what voice I heard. I've been trying to describe to you that that could take place with you. But there will be a day coming when you will know his voice, and that you will say, truly, this is the voice of my beloved. Oh, what a wonderful day that is when you're given to know this, when you get behind the secret of it, my hearers. And now we find that Jesus tarried there 2 days, and after that, he left Samaria and he came into the regions of Galilee. He came to Cana of Galilee, where he had first made the water into wine, the first miracle that he had performed. He did not go into Nazareth. Nazareth was his hometown. Nazareth was where his mother and his brethren lived. But in Nazareth, the people had not received him. It says in the Bible that he could do there no great miracles because of their unbelief. He, knowing that a prophet is not honored in his own country, he did not go into Nazareth. He declined to do so. He knew that a prophet is not honored in his own country. And that's so true, my hearers. It don't always hold. No. You know, I read a lot of sermons sometimes of a man by the name of Koval. Well, that man, he was born and raised in that town where he was, and he remained there all his life. He was a preacher of the gospel, but he was loved and esteemed by everybody in the town. And he remarks in one of his sermons that it's an unusual thing, he says, for a minister, he says, to be honored and to be respected and to remain in the same town all your life and preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus says, a prophet is not honored in his own country. And that's true, because if you follow the prophets under the Old Testament time, there were none of them that were honored and respected. Take Moses, for instance. Even his own sister and Aaron, they stood up against him. His own people raised up against him many times. And then if you take David, a man after God's own heart, even his own brethren, they despised him, they disdained him. Joseph likewise, his brethren, here comes that dreamer again. Take Jeremiah the prophet. For the men of Anatot, they did not receive Jeremiah. They hated him. They spake against him. And now if we come into the New Testament, even Paul, that great preacher of the gospel, and he likewise was disliked by his own countrymen, the Jews. Many times they took him out of the temple and stoned him. He got right up and went back into the temple again. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he likewise was not received, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was preaching in the temple to Jerusalem, and when he was preaching, the people were listening. Oh, they listened to the gracious words that came out of his lips. But when he began to teach them that there was only one widow at the time that Elijah was upon earth, and there was a great famine for 3 years and 6 months, and that there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha, but there was only one leper that was cleansed, Naaman, then they thrust him out of the temple. They took him to the brow of the hill, and they wanted to smite him down the hill from that particular place where their temple was located. They did not receive Christ, receive his teaching likewise. What was he teaching there? Why, he was teaching election, teaching the sovereignty of God. One widow, one Naaman. People don't like that. People think he should teach everybody saved, everybody can believe. Christ did not. He was not received. He taught them that a prophet was not honored in his own country. And now he comes into this particular territory in Cana of Galilee. And while he was there, there came to him a certain nobleman out of the city of Capernaum, 15 miles away. And this nobleman, he had a son that was sick. He was at the point of death. And when he heard that Jesus had come into this territory, he went to Jesus, and he besought Jesus that he would come down to his house and that he would heal his son who was so sick at the point of death. Nobleman. This man either was a wealthy man or he had a position that was next to the king. He was esteemed and he was looked upon and he was great. A nobleman. But he had a son that was sick. This teaches us that it doesn't make whether you're president, whether you're king, queen, or what you may be, rich or poor, young or old. We all are subject to sicknesses, afflictions, and even death itself. And that in and through sin. Now this man then, he had heard in Capernaum of Jesus. It is wonderful prophet who had been doing so many miracles and so many wonders. He had raised the dead. He had cured the blind from their sight. He had likewise healed so many. And this struck something in the heart of this nobleman. And where his son was at the point of death, he received such faith to believe that Christ was able to cure his son and to make him well. Oh, you may be sure, my hearers, that this man spent a lot of money to try to get his son better. Have you ever had a child sick? You ever had somebody sick in your family? Somebody so sick that was going to die? Oh, the concern, the anxiety, the distress that parents go through if they have a child that's sick. Some of them have said, I wished I was sick instead of the child. What's that? That's love. You know the tender love a father has for all his children dear. That's what this nobleman had. He had such love for his son. He had called in all the physicians. He had probably used all kinds of remedies. But nothing helped. You know, my hearers, there was only one person in this world that was not subject to sickness, to affliction, or to death itself, and that was Jesus Christ. You never read it, he was sick. He never sinned. He was without sin. But all others are subject to the misery of sin. And now, and this sickness that this young man had was such a sickness that nobody could cure. You know, there are sicknesses in the world that physicians can do nothing for. We got to be thankful to God that he has given physicians wisdom and understanding in many particular cases to diagnose what the trouble is with the person. Sometimes they hit on the right remedy right away. Sometimes they're doubtful what it is. They want to make x-rays, they want to make sure. Sometimes the person has to go through an operation. And it pleases God to use these instruments to spare lives. But then again, there are some diseases that they're stumped. They can't help anybody. And this probably was the case with this young man. And now, when he heard of Jesus, he received faith to come to him. And he came to him and he besought him that he would come down to his house and that he would heal his son who was at the point of death. You see, he had faith. That faith brought him 15 miles from Capernaum to Jesus. He had faith to believe that if Jesus came down to his house, then his son would be made whole. But there was not that strength in his faith that we read of some. You read of a centurion in the Bible. He sent his servants to Christ. He says, Lord, I am not worthy, he says, that thou should come under the roof of my house, he says, but speak only the word, and my servant shall be healed. Strong faith. Very strong. This man didn't have that strength of faith. He had that faith to believe that if Christ came down, he sure would make his son well. And now Jesus, who is the author of faith, and he knew likewise what was going on in this young man, in this nobleman's heart. He knew the measure of faith that he had. And Jesus answers him and says unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. This was a reproof to this man. He wanted Jesus to come down to his house, put his hand on his son and pray, and then he believed that his son would be spared. He had not that faith to believe that Jesus could but speak the word and he would be all right. Jesus didn't have to go 15 miles to heal that son. He had not that faith, my hearers. That's as far as his faith went. And Jesus reproves him for this. Are you any better? Let me ask you a question, every one of you. Wouldn't you want some sign, some wonder to happen to you so that you could believe? What do you want happen to you? If I could examine everyone that's listening to me now, they would say, well, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want him to give me a new heart. I want him to change me completely, outwardly and inwardly. I want to see that he's working in me. That's the only time you're going to believe, huh? Except ye see signs and ye see wonders, ye will not believe. Just to believe what Christ speaks is insufficient. You need to have something done. You need to have something experienced. I would say you want an ocular demonstration of the mighty power and wonderful works of God in you or upon someone that you know. Then you will believe. That's what this man wanted. You know, Naaman, when he came to Elisha, he stood outside of the door, and Elisha, he didn't even come outside. He says, send him to the river. He says, and tell him to bathe himself in that river 7 times, and he'll be delivered of his leprosy. Why that Naaman? He didn't even want to go. Huh, he says. I thought, he says, he would come outside, he would strike his hand over the leper, he would call upon God, and then I would be cured. Same way with this man. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to come down to his house and do something like that, and then he would believe that his son would be made whole. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And now the Lord Jesus Christ spake unto this man and said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that the Lord Jesus spake unto him, and he went his way, it says. Now what made the difference now? Why, when Jesus spake these words, my hearers, there went out such life-giving power into the heart of this man that it overcame all his anxiety, all his concerns, all his fears, all his unbelief, all his doubts, and even that Jesus had to come down to his house or otherwise he wouldn't be made well, it overcame all that. And he took that word by faith and believed it and rested upon it and upon him who spake that word. Oh, he rested entirely upon the word that Jesus had spoken. And at the same time, there went life down 15 miles down to the house where his son was. Just at the same time that them words were spoken. With this son, he was at the point of death. You ever see somebody at the point of death? I did. And you know it's a miracle if anybody's ever brought back from the point of death. Why, a person's unconscious, a person's laying with his mouth open, breathing heartily, and you're waiting for the last gasp. And now what happened in this house? Why, immediately, this son, he sat up on bed. He probably asked for a drink, which a person normally would do that had a fever and was almost dying. And then maybe he asked for some meat. And you can imagine what took place. It doesn't say anything about the mother. But there were servants there that were waiting on this son. And when they seen this take place, oh, that was such a wonder, such a miracle. Why, he was brought right back from the grave, you would say, right back from the dead. Right in the front of their eyes, they seen that. What a miracle that was to them people. And you know, them servants, they were so happy with what had taken place. Why, they started to go to where Jesus had went. They left the house. They had to tell their master what had taken place. Now he's on his way back, and he meets them servants. And they said unto him, "Thy son liveth." Oh, they were so happy to meet him. I could imagine they were. And I think he was happy to see him too, because that was a confirmation of the faith that he had in his own heart with the word that Jesus had spoken. And then they told him that his son lived. And he says to them, "At what hour was it," he says, "that he began to amend?" Well, they said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour." And that was just the hour that Jesus had spoken those words, and just at the same time he had been given to believe. And then he began to relate to them servants what he had experienced. You may be sure how that he had went to Jesus, how that he was so filled with anxiety and fear that if Jesus didn't come down, his son would surely die, and he insisted on him to come down. But Jesus, he just spake the word. And he says, "He gave me so much faith to believe his word," he says. "I forgot all about it," he says. "I just rested on it and I believed it. And now it's so true what you're telling me." And not only did this nobleman believe, all that were in the house, they believed because they had seen this miracle take place therein. My hearers, my time is gone. There lies such a nice spiritual meaning behind this, what I've been reciting to you out of the Bible. The Lord willing, and he gives a little liberty, a little opening next week, and he spares us, we will give you a spiritual interpretation of what took place here. The Lord bless what has been delivered to your immortal souls. That's all for today.